Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
There's somebody in the house I feel the Lord speaking to that I'm such a disgrace. I'm such a disgrace. God, you've seen what I've been doing. You know what I've done. And I'm a disgrace, Lord. I'm going to say this morning. No, you're not a disgrace. His grace is upon you. No need to be discouraged. You to be encouraged. God's not mad at you. God knows about you. And He wants you to know that He loves you and He cares for you. And His word towards you is this: I sent my Son for you. So know this morning, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Don't be disgraced, because His grace is upon you. Okay, is that okay? Somebody needs this word this morning. Somebody is listening. Somebody, you're not to be discouraged, not to be disgraced. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Says you're not to be disappointed. Don't be disappointed, because you are appointed by Him. You are appointed by Him to inherit the riches of His kingdom. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do not be disappointed. You are appointed. Does that make sense? Don't be discouraged. Don't be disgraced. You are appointed for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. See if He doesn't give me another word back there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Praise God.
Staying in the same spirit of worship, you may be seated if you like, but please pray with me. Father God, there is no place that we would rather be than in your presence, Lord. Lord, I ask this moment that, Lord, you would take our hearts, Lord. And Lord, some of us have formed scales around our heart, Lord. Places where we've been hurt. Places that we wish to not let anyone enter, Lord, into our heart. And so today, Lord, this morning, I ask that, Lord, you would begin to peel the areas of our heart, Lord, that need you in there, Lord. We need you, Lord. Heal the hurts. Break the hardness that we form, Lord. Something that only you can do, Lord, because we can. Mold us, Lord. Mold us to be more like you. Lord, that we could forgive like you have done, Lord. You forgave us, Lord. Instill in our hearts, Lord, love and forgiveness, Lord, for those that need it from us, Lord. And that we would receive that same love and forgiveness, Lord, from those that have hurt us. Come, Lord. Only through your Holy Spirit can we allow these things to take place within us, Lord. Because we don't have the strength. And we may not even have the desire to let this happen. So only in you, Lord. Bless our hearts, Lord. Bless our relationship with you, Lord. We welcome your presence in this place, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Love us, Lord. There's no place we'd rather be than in your presence, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Every first Sunday of the month, we all join in corporate communion. And just to let you know, as the servers are passing out the elements, please hold on to them so that we may take it together. But also on every other Sunday, if you'll notice in the back of our table back there, we always have communion set up for you to take individually with your family or on your own, however you may like. But we value the idea, the thought, whatever you want to call it, of communion. It's very important to us. And so when we, at the end of our communion time, please pass all the little cups to the sides and the servers will pick them up. But as they're passing them out, I just wanted to remind you, I know you all know what Paul said in Corinthians, is that when we take communion, that we are to do it in remembrance of what Christ did on that cross until he returns. And so it isn't something that's just a good Christian thing to do. A man hung on a cross. The Son of God and he took all that we deserved, but he took it so that we wouldn't have to. And so when we do this, let's remember and don't just take it as another Christian thing to do, even though it's the right thing. Remember that there are two elements. One of them was for the healing of our bodies, and one of them was for the forgiveness of our sins. They symbolize what he did. And sometimes it becomes real easy for us to accept the fact that our sins are forgiven and we got a ticket to heaven. Praise God for that. But then there's also the healing of our bodies. And that was for that too. So when we take these two elements right now, receive that he has made available to you for hanging on that cross. Receive it. So when Jesus was with his disciples at what we call the Last Supper, after taking bread, giving thanks, taking bread, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, "This is my body. Take and eat. Please take the bread." And in the same way, he took the cup. The symbol, this is his blood. Shed for you. Take the cup. And just take a moment to let this permeate within you. You know, there's God is always doing something wonderful. And we're looking forward to all our tomorrows, that they'll be better than yesterday. But yesterday was good too. And for a lot of us, we may have different issues going on in our bodies that need healing. Maybe our emotions that need healing, whatever it is. But God is there to heal us in whatever form we need Him. And when these things happen, when we get healed, it's like, you know, we rejoice, we thank God. It's like these different healings, sometimes miraculous healings that come about. We take it as like a here and there. And I'm here to tell you, church, that instead of rejoicing when these healings take place, that it's going to become just the way it is. And when you don't get healed, that's when we're going to be asking questions, why? And say, Lord, I need you more. But healings are going to become a part of who we are. This is who we are. God wants to heal our bodies. God wants to heal our hearts. And you're going to see that. I'm telling you right now, you're going to see bodies being healed very routinely. That's going to be the way it is. And so today we have two different testimonies of that. And these are things that, you know, we praise God for. But this is just the start of something new and wonderful that's coming. So, Stephen, Margaret, please come up. Is there a microphone? Thank you.
So, Pastor John, you really set me up. So, this is my friend Margaret. She's our neighbor. She's been coming here for a couple months. And we took her to the hospital to have an operation on Wednesday, was it? Thursday? And I'm going to let her tell the story. And anyways, God is amazing. And what Pastor John said is true. This is going to be commonplace.
Okay. Well, we got there Thursday. Oh, I never used one of these. I got big enough now. We got there Thursday, and they took me in the back, and I was going for the angiogram. I got 100% blockage in one of my arteries in the heart. And I guess they took too long to get tests done and everything. So the Lord took it upon Himself to heal me. He made another passage around the blockage. And that's why I'm here today. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
And then Hank's coming up next. But this is another miracle.
Folks, the movie on Friday night is called Breakthrough. It's about a young man who fell through the ice and wasn't recovered, wasn't resuscitated for over 15 minutes. And while they got his heart started, he was in a coma. And the movie's about how his family dealt with that and the results of their faith. And I'm not gonna blow the surprise any more than that, but I've got my own testimony to share with you. About 5 years ago, my wife and I were sitting at a kitchen table on Saturday morning. And we got a phone call that no parent ever wants to get. Our eldest son had OD'd. And we needed to get down to the trauma center as fast as we possibly could. We don't know how long Adam was unconscious and not breathing before the paramedics showed up. When we got to the trauma center, they had incubated him so he could breathe, and they had restarted his heart. But there was flat line on the brain monitor. He was in intensive care for over 14 days. During that time, I had a lot of fellow pastors come up, dear friends of mine, to pray over him, to pray with us. And they all said, Hank, you need to prepare yourself. But I refused. I refused. I took a stand and I said, Lord, you're not going to let this happen. And I didn't bargain with God. I have no right to bargain with God. But I took a stand and I would not be moved off of that stand. My wife and I tag teamed my son's side for 14 days. And I watched as that brain monitor started to come up and come up and come up. And the neurologists, the psychologists, they'd come in during the day and they'd scratch their head and going, what's going on? This is impossible. And at night we'd hear the nurses say, this is a miracle. At the end of 14 days, I watched God bring my son back to me. No one can ever tell me that our God is not in the miracle business. A couple years ago, actually, Pastor Henry married my son in this church. Yes, to his wife. And then this week, my youngest daughter started to complain about a problem with her eye. It was hurting. Well, it turns out she slept in her contacts for like 2 weeks straight. Don't ever do that. So we took her to the local eye doctor, and he says, no, you got to get in town, go see a specialist. And so we did that. But the cornea specialist wasn't in, so they gave us some eye drops and said, come back the next day. We did that. The cornea specialist took one look at her and said, you're going to University Hospital. They checked her in. She had eye drops every hour, two different types, every hour on the hour, no sleep, in preparation for emergency eye surgery the next day. Now, of course, I prayed over her as soon as the issue arose. And then when it got serious, this church started praying over her. This church and several others. She was on many, many prayer lists. Many prayer lists. So the next morning after she spent the night, when the doctor came in, he goes, What happened? The infection is down to 50% of what it was. And here they were telling us she has to have a cornea transplant. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case. Because I'm here to tell you, our God is in the miracle business. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else want to say something? God is working. God is doing.
Year I've spent a lot of time being sick, and it went from one thing to the next, and we were getting ready to lose insurance, and they ran some tests on me, and for whatever reason the tests were not really valid. There were some circumstances that came up, and I said, God, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. I know that you can heal me. Throughout the whole entire year, I kept asking the Lord for healing. I had major digestive issues, and they wanted to remove part of my colon. And I didn't want to say anything until I felt like the time was right. I felt like the Lord was telling me it's time to declare that you're healing and to tell your testimony, because for weeks now I've been able to use a bathroom by myself without the use of laxatives. I haven't been bloated. God healed me. And I'm just here to tell you that God is faithful. You might not see your healing right away, but God is faithful. And he'll do all that he says he's going to do. And he told me one day, he said, don't be like Peter. Peter asked Jesus to call him out to the water. And he started walking on the water. And all the stuff that was going on around him, he began to doubt. He began to sink. And God told me, don't be like Peter. Don't let your circumstances cause you to doubt. And he told me not to be like a wave of the sea tossed about. Because if you ask God, you have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is. He is a rewarder if you diligently seek him. He might not do it right away, but he will do it. You have to have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you're not getting into the word, you need to get into it. You need to remind yourself of the promises of God. And you speak them over your life. You speak them over your children. You speak them over your situations, and you're going to see breakthrough. It doesn't matter what it looks like right now. All that matters is that you hold on to the word of God.
Amen. The word is powerful. One more, huh?
He's coming. This is my husband, Bob. And 19 years ago, he was rushed to the hospital with a brain aneurysm. And I want to tell you, I'm here to declare the power of prayer, because we had people praying everywhere. And the doctors said, oh, if he lives, he will probably be a vegetable, or he will have severe deficits. He will be in this hospital for at least 3 weeks. Well, I want to tell you, and John and Stella were there for this. They were part of our prayer team. He came out of that hospital in 8 days. He had no deficits except for his lower peripheral vision, which the doctor said, you can still drive, because that vision, they will allow you to still drive. Then in 2013, he had a stroke. And he lost his ability to speak. And again, our church was praying. Other churches were praying. Our friends were praying. And he had not spoke for 5 days. We had a young pastor come in, and he put his hand on his knee, and he prayed very specifically. He prayed that the thoughts that were in Bob's mind would come out through his mouth. That afternoon, I came back from lunch, and he was telling someone in his room about our last vacation, and he hadn't spoken for 5 days. My health was very, very bad when I was in my 30s, 40s, and they didn't know why. And I kept asking for prayer and asking for prayer. And eventually God led me to a doctor that diagnosed lupus. And for years, I had issues because of that. And we moved here, and God gave me the scripture about the woman at the well who pressed in to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And I kept pressing in and pressing in, and people were pressing in for me. And one day, a gentleman by the name of Peter called me, and he said, have you been tested recently? And I said, no, why? He says, God told me he healed you. I have not tested positive for lupus in 15 years. That's the power of prayer.
Over 15 years ago, I imagine. I was diagnosed with lupus. And I used to take care of my grandkids, and all of a sudden I couldn't do it anymore. I just felt like I was hopeless. So my church, and Sue was part of that. And they prayed for me, and my doctor said, well, once you have it, you can't get rid of it. That's it. And God took me to a different doctor. He checked me, and I'm free of lupus. I don't have lupus any longer. So, yes, God is a God of truth and a God of light, and He will heal you. He will be there, but you got to believe it. And like they say, you got to stay in the Word. You got to know that He's going to do it. Stop saying that, I don't know. I don't know if He could or not, or if I'm not that special. Every single person here is special, and He will touch you. He will, if you say yes to Him.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says that if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you ask that mountain to be removed, and cast out, He says, you know, to the ocean. It will happen. And I was talking to Brother Henry, you know, the pastor, I'm used to saying Henry because he's like a brother to me. But the thing is that he says, have you ever broken that mustard seed? Inside that mustard seed, there's a lot of seeds. And it's a small seed. The smallest seed, you know, of all seeds. And if you break it, that's what the Lord was talking about. Inside that mustard seed, He's talking about the smallest seed. And if we ask, you know, He said He will fulfill the desires of our hearts. And if you have faith as big as that mustard seed, inside that mustard seed, He'll do it. Like the brother says, you know, He's a God of miracles. He is a God of miracles. When we're taking communion, you know, that bread represents our healing. And the blood, you know, that blood represents our forgiveness of sins. You see, He said if we have faith, you know, that we are saved by grace, not by works, any man shall be boasting. But if we have that grace that He has given us. He was beaten, He was spit on, and He was nailed to the cross and put a thorn on His head, a crown. But the thing is, He did it for us. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And on 17, it says that, that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. How much love does He give us? How much love is He given us? 2,000 years ago, He came and died for us. I remember one time I was passed out on the floor, you know, and they were showing a movie about Jesus, you know. And not because I was tough. I was crazy in those days, you know. I would express, you know, what my heart was feeling about, you know, other people. And the only time I spoke was when I was drunk. But the thing is that God saved me. And now He has made me a big mouth. And now I express myself about salvation. I tell people about salvation. People are dying. You know, I went to go pray for, you know, a friend of mine. He passed on. He passed on because he went to the kingdom of God now. Yes, he passed away. But the thing is, you know, what hurts in my heart that people can't see what I see, you know. I remember when Henry used to tell me, Reuben, I wish you could see what I see. But I can't. Because why? Because the drugs were in my pocket and the beer in my hand. And I just didn't take one little drug. I took a lot of them. Why? Because I was trying to fulfill that void in my heart. And the only one that can fulfill that void is Jesus. He is the only one. And he has given me life and more abundantly. You see? And talking about that, you know, that communion, you know, having the healing and his precious blood. The only reason I am perfect is because of that blood. Not by works, it's by grace. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, about 2 years ago this Easter, my sister-in-law had died of a heart attack. And her husband came in. It was during a Easter weekend, and hardly anyone was at the business. And her husband happened to show up early, which was a God thing. And she said she didn't feel well, and she keeled over, and she was dead. And he brought her back to life a couple times. But by the time the emergency medical team could come out, she'd been brain dead, for no oxygen for many, many, many minutes, or a couple dozen minutes. And the doctor said if she ever come back, she'd be brain dead. And so we heard about it. We prayed. And both Shirley and I both had confidence that she was going to be well. They put her in it was a kind of a podunk hospital out in the hills of Ohio. And they just put her in ice. They wanted to go do their golf game, have Easter weekend off, and said, well, she's going to be dead. And when she woke up they took her out of the ice, and she woke up on Tuesday morning. And she had wondered what she was doing in the hospital. She didn't even know what happened. And she was back at work in 2 months. She's running 5Ks, and she's perfectly normal. No brain death. And so, you know, I was reading today in Psalm 95. It says, harden not your hearts. And for my people, God was upset with his people because they hardened their hearts against him. They wouldn't go into the promised land. And he was really irate with them. And I think that's what we do. We harden our hearts against God's healing.
Pat, you can go home.
Okay, I just have one. For addiction, I was crashed a quad about a year ago, and it left me with a big bone broke here. And the Lord it was the size of a golf ball, and the Lord has put it back. And on top of that, it has been a conversation starter. I'm a nail tech, and people will sit across me and they go, what is that? And I don't know how, but so many people of different ages come and they just say, oh my God, this in my pocket, or I'm doing this and I'm struggling with this, and how, and I don't know, but I just know it sparks to let them know that the Lord can do it.
Your healing was given to you on that cross. It's our time to receive it today. Pastor Pat, I think it's your time. God bless you guys.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, we could do this all day. This is what God does. He's done it in your life. He's done it in my life. Got to get up higher. Better? Man. You don't want to stop when this is happening. This is called flow, right? Everybody's lives, every picture tells a story, don't it? You have no idea what's happened to the person next to you. You have no idea. And I say this a lot, but it bears repeating. Never judge a book by its cover. Don't do it, because you don't know the champion that's in the person sitting next to you. It doesn't matter what they look like, what they sound like, what they do. God created them from before the foundations of the world for a purpose. They brought him here. They brought him to you at work. God's anointing is in you to reach those people for his kingdom. Amen. Have you heard about that revival that took place in Brazil? Anybody heard about it? Colosseum was filled. Thousands of people. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was either the president of Brazil, president of Mexico, stood up and declared publicly that Brazil was a country for Christ. That's what God is. I mean, all the moves of God that we've read about in the past, all the street evangelism, the church doors that opened up in the 60s and 70s, the Jesus movement took place. They're happening right now again. It's not going to happen. It is happening. Jesus wants us out there. If God tells you to go to a park somewhere and sit there with your Bible, go and sit there with your Bible. You have no idea what's going to happen. If God tells you to take your guitar down to a park or to a street corner, just do it. Simply be obedient with what God's given you in order to see him do what he wants to do. I'm going to shorten things up a little bit today, so I want to remind everybody about some basic principles that we have, that we walk in, that we should walk in, you know. And I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, in Matthew 24:3, I'm getting asked this all the time, and I'm sure you are too. The disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" Do you guys get those questions? I mean, what should we be looking for? I mean, all the things that are going on in the Middle East, all the things we're seeing on the news, what is going to be the sign of your coming? So I think we have a responsibility to know. We have a responsibility to search the scriptures and find out about these things. So I encourage you, if end time prophecy or an understanding of what's going on prophetically right now is something that inspires you and you're drawn towards, search these things out. Find out what Daniel's 70 weeks is about, the prophecy that Daniel had, the understanding that Daniel had of the writings of Jeremiah. Find these things out. Search them out, because people are going to ask you. If you don't know, that's okay. Say you don't know. But that should inspire you to go find out. And I want to bring up Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that do appear." The word "worlds" literally means dispensations of time throughout human history. It's a time period. God literally developed time for you and me. So the word "worlds" means time periods throughout human histories. And he says they were framed. What was framed? Those time periods, past, present, and future, were framed in by the word of God. And the word of God, that word is rhema. It literally means spoken word. God spoke time into existence. He separated these time periods for us to be able to look at, to analyze, to understand. It's how Daniel did it. He understood the things that were. He understood the things that are. John the Apostle on the island of Patmos, same thing. God said, write in a book. Tell them about the things that you've seen and heard. Write in a book and tell them about the things that are right now in church history. Write in a book about the things that shall come. It's a Greek word called metatauta. It means thereafter. Things that are about to happen after the rapture of the church. We need to understand the simplistics of this so that when people come and ask, we have an answer to give them. Amen? And we don't have a lot of time in a Sunday morning church service to really teach us like it needs to be taught. It's like a 10, 12-week class. So I encourage you go home and look these things up. Read about it. I'm trying to put together an outline. If you're interested, leave your name, email address with us. We'll get you some information that'll help you take this journey and look up these scriptures and ask God to reveal to you what they mean. Okay? Amen? Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 12, I'm going to go there for a minute. Verses 1 through 3. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man, that it is among you not to think of himself more highly than he should or he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I mean, I heard a couple things come out this morning that I already had written to share with you today. Scriptures. Every man has been given the measure of faith. You know, my wife has a, I think Pastor John's a little close to me. Where are you? I mean, God's moving in my heart right now as I'm beginning to share. As a pastor, when we stand up here and we look out at you, we see things. We see things in you. We don't see chairs. We see people. There's things that God has shown me about some of you, but God has told me to keep it within myself. What are you going to do? Time out. Thank God for Admiral Steve of the sound booth. Hallelujah. God has given every man the measure of faith. The title of my message this morning is, Come What May, We're on the Wednesday. With me, come what may, we're on the word to stay. You heard it this morning. All these folks that have received healing in their body that they didn't think they could. Doctors said they couldn't. It won't happen. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. God's word is yes and amen. And everything that you set out to accomplish, there's no variance in it. He doesn't say, well, you know, maybe. We might say that. God doesn't say that. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. There is no variance in the things of God. Now, God is showing the pastors of this church. Pastor Henry talks about this a lot, where a shepherd is always looking out for the best interest of the sheep. They're always looking ahead for better pasture because they want you to be fed well. They want to make sure you're not going to run out of the source that you need to be healthy, to be what you're called to be. So understand that God is doing some amazing things in you and through you towards others. Come what may, you're on the word to stay. And John and Nancy, God's been speaking to me about you for a long time. You know, the time wasn't right. He's going to use you in a powerful way. The things that you've gone through in life, they are literally transforming you. They are building you. They are equipping you to handle what God is going to put in your life. You're going to be ministering to people in a powerful way. God is going to use your testimony. God is going to use your life to lift people up, encourage them, exhort them. I'm encouraging you today. Get ready. Get ready. God is going to use you. He is. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, Jasmine, God loves you. He loves you so much. You know, you, your brother, your family's been graced with music. It has been. It's obvious. We see it all the time. But I want you to understand something that you already know. God has also called you to teach. You love kids. Don't take that lightly. That isn't a secondary gift. It's all conclusive. You're going to teach these young guys and gals, not only in teaching, but in music. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. And I'm telling you, God is showing me some things about you and what he wants to do through you, where you're at. Not just here, but everywhere you go. So be prepared, because God is going to open doors no man can shut. He's going to shut doors no man can open. And you need to be sensitive to those things and realize the responsibility that God's placing in your hands to teach these young lives. Amen? Amen. I guess God had different plans this morning, huh? Woo! Hallelujah. You know, the measure of faith, getting back to that for a minute, Brother Reuben brought it up. My wife has a little necklace around her neck, or I don't know if she has it on now, but inside of this little bitty thing is a little bitty seed. It's a mustard. You got one?
Oh, but I got pertaining.
Hello. The mustard seed. When trouble seems monumentous and faith seems small, look to your Savior. Look to one whose hands still bear the marks of the nails that he took for you. Seeing him, know the truth. You can trust him. You can rest in the peace he gives. Thank you, brother. This seed that we're talking about, it's little, and you've all been given it. Every one of you. When you get born again, God gives us all the same measure of faith. What you do with it depends on you. I mean, there's a lot of us that we look at other people's lives and we see them prospering. We see them healing the sick. We see them teaching, encouraging. We see them going, man, what's the difference? The difference is us. When you, by faith, do anything for God, I love when Pastor bless you. I love when Pastor Henry uses illustrations up here, visible illustrations. Remember when he did the plumb line thing a few years ago, trying to get us to understand how God works in his timing? Well, here's my illustration. This mustard seed is so small. But when you walk up, when God tells you to do something, you don't just do something because someone else did. You do what you feel God's telling you to do. If God tells you to, like he did me that one day in the store, he said, tell that woman I do love her. No, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to embarrass. No. Yes, tell that woman I do love her. All right, man. So I did. That little seed went. It grew a little because I was obedient to doing something God said. For those of you that work out, you understand you got to tear muscles, rip muscles to get bigger. You got to keep doing it. It's repetitive over and over and over and over again. Do what God says to do. What do we do today? Communion? Take the cup. Take the bread. Over and over and over and over. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. You didn't know that right away. I still don't get numbers. But But the fact is, the more you do it, the more it works. Pray for that person out on the street when God tells you to. Stretching. Okay, you did it. You grow and you develop. You become stronger in your faith and your walk with God. Continue to do that. Don't listen to anything else other than that small, still voice telling you what to do. Because your own self, your own conscience, voices out there that don't want you to accomplish what God's called you to do will try to be a naysayer. Will say, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You are what God created you to be. You are everything that you need to be to accomplish what God's called you to do. So by faith, remember that and stand on that. I'll give this back to you in just a second. The key to understanding good teaching is not coming up with something new all the time. It's reminding ourselves of timeless truths. I use this illustration. You take the cup. You take the bread. What are you doing? You're remembering what the Lord has done for you. You understand through the illustration that Pastor John said and shows. You see the emotion, the care, the compassion, the things that take place when you consider what God has done for you. I don't think any of us really feel that worthy. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Me? Are you kidding? I think that last message I had said, God, are you sure? You sure you want to use me? You know, I know me. He goes, yeah, well, I know you too. I know things you don't know. You're just thinking of things in the past, maybe present, but I know the future. I know what I've called you to do. I know the impact that you're going to have on the lives of other people. I know I can change you. Like Brother Reuben said, you know, the only time he had a big mouth is when he's drunk. It's called liquid courage. When that goes away, what's left? The Spirit of God in you, which does give you a voice to speak and to say and to do. Be confident in this very thing, that what God has started in you, he will finish. That's a promise from God to you and me. And, you know, as wonderful as all, if we can go to Ephesians 1, I'm not going to read all this for the sake of time, but let's go towards the end, please. Probably around 12. And one more. It says in verse 14, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit, what God has given you. And Paul calls it the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You think healing is wonderful? You think prospering is wonderful? You think that seeing someone cast a demon out of somebody, it's amazing. You see the gifts of the Spirit in operation and you go, that's incredible. You see praise and worship services where people fall out over the anointing. It's wonderful, but guess what? This is a down payment. This is the down payment of God's guarantee to you of what eternity is going to be like. God is shaping and molding and preparing us for eternity. He is. I'm not getting into this part of the message today, but you are called the pearl of great price. In the parables, Jesus talks about it. You are the pearl of great price. God is. It all started with Jesus in the pit of hell. He was the first irritating, you know, a pearl comes from an oyster, right? Jesus was the first irritating stone to the devil himself in the pit of hell. He couldn't get rid of him. He couldn't defeat him. Made him mad. The church is being built on him and continues to be built on him one layer at a time. Everything that you go through in life, every time that you're obedient, you step out. You step out by faith and do something God's asked you to do. And I said this one time, and Brother Steve Cargill, he goes, man, I was so encouraged by what you said about stepping out by faith. He goes, I quit my job. I go, hey, you're not going to put that on me. He goes, no, God spoke to me. I mean, I've been wanting to do this, but God spoke to me through that illustration. He goes, when you step out, I knew what I was supposed to do. God is building. He is working on us one layer at a time. One layer at a time. And one day soon, Jesus is coming back for his church. He is. Maranatha. He is coming soon. He's preparing our hearts for eternity right now. And those that study these kind of things out, study these things, is a pearl takes approximately 7 years to become complete and perfect in a shell, in an oyster. When Jesus comes back for his church, and this is why I encourage you to look up these things about prophecy so you understand what we're going through, where we're going. That pearl, one day, after 7 years, is going to be perfect. And Jesus is going to reach down from heaven. He's going to take that pearl, and he's going to bring it unto himself. That's us, folks. The tribulation period is going to happen. We're going to be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ during that marriage supper of the Lamb. Be of good cheer. Paul said, let people know about this. Encourage people in these words. Jesus is coming soon. So what's that mean? When? I don't know. I know it's soon. I know that fig tree came into bloom, which represents Israel, 1948, ratified 1949. That generation shall not pass till all things are fulfilled. These are encouraging words for us to hear. Until that time comes, we need to be about the Lord's business. God told me that one time, 9/11 has always meant something to me. I've shared this with you before. I didn't know what it meant, though. Every time I look at a clock, say 9/11. 9/11, 9/11. And I never look at a clock, but every time I did, 9/11. God told me one day, he said, Pat, it's an emergency. It's an emergency to me that people out there get saved. I'm coming soon. We're seeing these revivals break out on the streets again. God is in preparation mode. Your life is in preparation for the coming King. And we need to be about his business and doing what God asks us to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Praise God. You know, God has given us this. God has given us his word in writing. In writing. Why? Why has God given his word in writing? So we can read it. How do you know unless you read what's in? I mean, it's a simple analogy. It's a love letter from God to you for you to understand what God's called you to do. I mean, everything you need to know about marriage is in there. Being a father, it's in there. Being a husband, being a mother, prospering, the law of sowing and reaping. Everything you need to know about how to advance in life, to be strong, to be encouraged, it's in the Word. You know, being a love story, I mean, I've been married 47 years, and my wife has sent me love letters 47 years. I mean, under my pillow, in my lunch pail, in my truck, in my car, every time I turn around, there it was. And I wasn't always lovable. I mean, thank God for her. And one day, when I was at the mill, I mean, she can cook. She made me a sandwich, man. It had like six or seven colors. You know, meat, alfalfa sprouts, cheese, pickles. I mean, it was gorgeous. I mean, it was almost too pretty to even bite into. But I was hungry. And I went to take a bite, and I went, whoa, what is that? And I went, in plastic. in the middle of my sandwich, she wrote a love note to me. That's what God is doing to you with this. He wants you to know how much he loves you. He wants you to know. And, you know, if you, I wasn't planning on this, but if you need proof that God is real, if anybody you know needs proof, I mean, we've all known people that call themselves atheists or agnostics. If you need proof, you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to approach him by faith. He's not going to prove anything to you. So if there's someone thinking like that, maybe this is just supposed to go out over the airways. I don't know. It's by faith. Everything that we do, we come to him by faith. That's how he operates. It's impossible to please him without it. So if you know someone in that state, just encourage him. You're not going to get the proof you're looking for. After you get born again, you'll know that you know. That spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a son of God. But don't think that you have to prove anything to anybody. You don't. Amen? And I want to encourage you. I was reading through Haggai, and he made a statement in there, and I think this is the truth that applies across the border about a lot of things, not just in the prophecy of what he was saying. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, did I give that to you guys? The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I want you to know, you heard testimonies today. As you walk with God, as you grow and develop with him, I'm telling you, your latter days are going to be greater than your former. Expect God to do mighty things through you. Expect God to do mighty things through other people. I was just speaking to a young lady this morning. And I said, you know, let's pray for this person that we were talking about. You know what happens when you pray for someone? You change. You know? Yeah, the other person is receiving the benefit of that prayer. But you reap what you sow. You were obedient to pray for that person the way the scripture says to. The Bible says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who humiliate you or make fun of you. It doesn't seem normal because it's not. It's spiritual truth, a spiritual law. You pray for someone, you planted a seed. That's going to come back to you 100-fold. You know that? You pray for someone that's sick. Guess what? I look forward with all the injuries I've had. I find when I see someone that needs prayer, I want to pray for them. It's going to come back to me 100-fold. God's word's absolute truth. Pray for those that are around you. Pray for those that are sick. Your life is basically seed time and harvest. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think is a seed sown. We're talking about faith. Come what may, we're on the word to say. I don't care what's going on around me. That's contrary to God. It doesn't matter. God's word is absolute truth. His word is going to come to pass in my life and in your life when we step out by faith to go after it. Amen? He will. Praise God. We're going to skip over a few of these, but in Joshua chapter 14, if I gave that to you guys, 6-13, we're talking about faith. I want to be like these guys. You know, the stories in the Old Testament were written for our sake. that we might know. That we might know. Like I said before, dispensations of time were created for us to understand what was, what is, and what shall be. I want to be like these guys. I want to be like Joshua and Caleb. The children of Israel, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God concerning me in thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old I was when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out on the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 40 years, 40 and 5 years, since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day for 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong as the day that in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spoke in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so, the Lord will be with me when I shall be able to drive them out. And the Lord said, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. You know, 85 years old, give me my inheritance. Come what may, I'm on the word to stay. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to be able to look. And he did. He looked around. He saw, because he had to wait 40 years. He's chomping at the bit. He realizes what's out there to obtain. He understands that these guys were giants. I mean, David, history tells us, was only 5'2 to 5'5. So he was a short guy. And yet he took out Goliath, 9 feet plus. Caleb looked at the same situation and said, give them to me. They're mine. He wasn't looking things with his own natural eyes. He was looking at things through the eyes of faith, which we do every day. If you have things in your life that you're dealing with, sickness, I mean, broken bone, I don't know what it is that you're dealing with right now, but look at it through the eyes of faith. Understand God wants you well. He wants you strong, so that you can go out and preach the gospel. That's why we're here. We're going to see, I'm telling you, we're going to see out on these streets the multitudes coming in, and they're going to need somewhere to go. I don't ever want to be, I left a friend of mine in the hands of four pastors in a small town. One of the guys I ran with when I grew up, man, he was a close friend. He gave his life to the Lord. His mom told me, he goes, Pat, I can't raise him again. I can't do this. It's time for him to grow up. Well, we had a talk one night, sitting out in his garage. He gave his life to the Lord. And I had to leave. I had to go home. I live a long ways away now. And I went to four churches, and I knocked on the door of four churches, and I talked to the pastors personally. And I said, you know this guy. You know me. This guy needs you. I don't know if he'll go to church on his own, but I know if you go to him, he'll go. He needs your support right now. I went home. You know, not one of those pastors went to see him. He's dead now. I don't want to ever be in a position where I do something like that. Those people out there, when they get saved at these big gatherings, they need somewhere to go. They need us. They need the Spirit of God in us to encourage them, to give them direction, to speak into their life, to love them, encourage them, inspire them. So get ready. You know, I'm going to end this with this. Be prepared to handle the load that's coming in, that's going to need you, that's going to need the gifts that you have. And remember, the gifts that you have, they're not for you. These young folks coming up here, they're going to sing and praise God in music. These gifts that God's given them are not for them. They're for you and for the people that are out there. It's the anointing. I want to go to bed every night on empty. I do. I want to go to bed every night on empty. I want to feel in my heart that I've done everything that I could have done that day in whatever situations I encountered. That's how I feel. I think that's what we should all pursue and know when we lay our head down on that pillow, we gave it our best. And that's, you know, all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. It's the name of a book. No football coach wrote it. All you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. If you know that you gave it all you got, that's all God's asking for. He does the rest. Praise God. Understand, God has a plan and a purpose for all of you. Get ready. I'm telling you, these things are beginning to happen. They're going to happen in this town. They're going to happen across the states. Jesus is coming back soon. And we need to be ready. We need to know that we fulfilled His plan and purpose each and every day. All you can do is all you can do. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. Say it with me one more time. Stand up and say it with me. Come what may, we're on the word to stay. I don't care what happens. I don't care what is said throughout the day. The doctor says, this is going to happen. You go, no, thank you. I appreciate your advice. I appreciate the knowledge you have. But my God says, by His stripes I am healed. So I'm going to continue to believe in that. I'm going to continue to walk in the ways that I know are right by Him. I'm going to glorify His name. I'm going to encourage people. Come what may, I'm on the word to stay. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your amazing grace. I thank You for the love and the passion and the care and the support that You are for us. Your word says that You know us. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. Father, I pray that Your perfect will be done for us. I pray for a double portion of Your anointing to follow us all the days of our life, that we may impact the world around us, that we may create a stronger environment in our home, that we may be greater parents, greater spouses, better pastors. Father, we love You, and we look forward to Your soon return. Until then, let Your will be done, and come what may, we are on Your word to stay. Man, God bless you guys. If anybody needs prayer, man, never leave this place without asking somebody. Okay? God bless you. Thank you for coming. And like Pastor Henry says, you're all ministers. Go out into the world and minister. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.